Great. Okay, I was going to just ask you to go over the basic information you've given when we were talking. So can you tell me how you decided to get a job in the shipyard?
Oh, well, it was because my dad had put my name down because they were going to try out girls working in the shipyard. And they were going to start off with about, I forget now if it was 5 or 10 of them, just to see how it would work. And if it did, then they were going to start to hire more. And I think it went over very good, because it wasn't long before they started to hire more and more of them.
Mm-hmm. Why were you favored for a job in the shipyard?
Like I say, I think it was because my dad worked there.
Uh-huh.
And they wanted relatives of applicants to be working there. Now, I don't know what the reason was, but maybe it was just to keep an eye on them, to make sure that they wouldn't get hurt or whatever. I really don't know.
What had you been doing before you applied for a job there?
School.
What were your career intentions?
University, and then I wanted to go into some field of medicine. And there just wasn't any money there, because I know I asked my father about it, and he said that he just couldn't afford it. And so then I accepted it, and I took a business course at night for 6 months, and I took up shorthand, typing, junior business, junior bookkeeping. And after I'd finished, this is when my father had put my name in, and after comparing the wages from both ends, I found that that would be a much better paying job, so I thought I'd try it, and I found I liked it. It was easy, and I found it easy.
When you thought about going into that kind of work, it's really different from office work or clerical work. What did you think it would be like before you went in?
Well, I think all the big machinery and the shops and cranes and cranes.
Uh-huh.
They were a bit frightening, because you're not used to it. But it didn't take one or two days to get used to it and know how to be careful or to work with it. So I blended in very easy.
Were you afraid the work would be really difficult?
No, I was a fitter's helper in the shop. And I guess the template would be down on the plate, and you'd mark off the templates, and I found it very easy.
What was the template?
A template is like a wooden frame that you put down on a steel or a beam, and then you mark it off so that it could be cut or burnt, or the rivet holes would be all marked or whatever. And you just, they're all parts of the ship, I guess, templates, like, you know,
uh-huh,
whatever you happen to be marking.
Right. So what the fitter would do is, would he basically prepare the pieces to them?
Yes. And then the pieces would be sent to the burner or the wherever it had to go, like where, if the plate was, say, this long, and you had to cut a piece that was this long, it would all be marked off, and after it was all cut and everything, then it would be taken and, I guess, obviously fitted onto some part of the ship.
Uh-huh. Okay. When you came in the very beginning, were you given any kind of training?
No. In fact, the man that I was helping said that I had caught on so easy, in fact, that he found that I was just as good as a as a man helper, if not better. And when I was offered another job out of the shop, I think about 6 or 8 months later, they asked me if I wanted to go and learn to be a burner. And I thought, no, I don't think I'd like that. All that smoke and the fumes that come off of it, I didn't think it would be healthy. So then Mr. Martini came and asked me personally if I wanted to go on the ships and be a shipwright's helper. And that paid more. So I thought, well, gee, I'll take that, because I found him very good. He was always sort of stepping me up. Mm-hmm. So the shipwright, his job was to lay the mark out the superstructure on the top deck of these ships, which would be the housing and the cabins. The housing on the top deck.
Right.
And his job was to lay it all out and measure it and mark it out. And then when everything was brought up on a crane and set down, it would be set right on those markings, you know. You know what a ship is, you know, all that housing that's on top of the top deck. And I helped him. Uh-huh. And then, I guess must have been with him for about a year and a half.
Can I just ask exactly what the helper did?
Like, he'd have to measure out, and I'd have to hold the tape, and then take a punch and a hammer, and then punch little holes all the way down this marks, because you couldn't use chalk, they'd rub off. So you'd have to make all these little marks with a punch and a hammer, and help him measure out things. Mind you, he was the one that was doing all the brain work. I just had to go behind and make sure that I punched it all out properly.
Right.
And made no mistakes, because, you know, it had to be done right. And simple again. There was no problem at all. In fact, he told me the same thing. He says, as far as having a boy helper or woman helper, he says, I wouldn't find any difference at all. So I was with him for quite a while. I forget now all the time that's gone by now, a year I guess. When they came and asked, they were picking about 10 or 15 women to go on the carriers. And it was a selection, because I think there was about 600 sailors living in on these carriers. Mm-hmm. Because they were living in the carrier. They were sleeping, eating, and doing their drills and whatever. And they were making a very tight selection on it, because I guess they just wanted a decent, mm-hmm. I don't want to even say decent girls, but they wanted girls that had very good morals, I guess, because you could get into trouble working with 600 men on the ship every day. You know what I mean? So don't even put that on the tape, but I'm trying to point it out to you. So that was the reason why they were picking them. And they asked me if I wanted to go, that I was picked, but it was my choice. And on that, I was electrician's helper. And the money was better, so I thought, well, it isn't very far from South Burrard. I'll try it. Now, the reason for them putting all these little extras into these aircraft carriers was that the English had pneumatic signals on the carriers, which transmitted messages from one end or back and forth across the ship. And the Americans wanted an electrical system put in case the pneumatic signals got blown out by a gun or something, and then they wouldn't have no way of transmitting messages. So they wanted the electrical transmission too, where you could pick up a phone and talk, you know?
Right.
You know what the pneumatic signals are like? Do you know what they are? They were like little cylinders, about that long and about that round. And you put a message in there and put a top on it, and you put it in this, like a pipe, and then shut the little door and push a button, and the air would shoot the cylinder to wherever it had to go. And then the other person, they'd open up the cylinder and get the message at the other end. So that was the reason why they were sending electricians and some helpers over to install these, the electrical, a transmission sort of a thing where you could speak on, more, you know, and not depend just on the pneumatic signals. And then I worked there until all that was done, and then I went into the industry again in when the war work was over.
So, the cylinders were just around 8 inches by two?
Yeah. See, you're young, but if you remember Eaton's, you know Sears downtown?
Yeah.
It used to be called Simpson's.
Right.
They used to have them in the stores. For, if you went to a cashier and you wanted to, and you paid for a purchase and it was $50 and they didn't have change, they'd put it in the little signal and send it up to the head office, and then the head office would open it, make the change, and send back the proper change. So if you're not old enough to, I mean, you're too young to know that, but that's what they used to do in some of the stores. And it was sort of like, that's how they sent things, you know. And it was, I think, pushed by air, some type of air.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, what year do you think it was that you went into the shipyard?
About 41, I guess.
So that really was right at the beginning.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And the other women that you went in with
Well, a girlfriend of mine that went to school with me, she's in the States now. She married an American, so she's been living in the States here for about 35 years. I had mentioned to her that I was going to, that my father had put my name in, and I was going to, he was going to get me a job because, like, there was a little waiting period there. And she said, I said, well, do you think, would you like to come and try? I says, maybe my dad will put your name down too. And so he did, and they called the both of us. So both of us worked always together. And she went on the carriers too. Mm-hmm. We were picked, we were always picked. I don't know why, but maybe it was because we were always very proper, and you know, in those days it was a little different than today.
Mm-hmm. And then, afterwards, was there a big influx of women?
Oh yes, after that they really hired, like they were hiring them for passing rivets and learning, they were being taught how to burn and to weld and to just about do anything, you know, if they were, if it was possible. And it was shortly after that when they saw that it was really working well. I don't think 2 or 3 months went by, and I guess they must have talked to the different men that had girls helping them and thought what, asked them what they thought. Must have been a very favorable report, because after that they really started to hire, and they were going to North Shore. There was a shipyards in the North Shore, 2 of them I think. And so they found it very, worked very well, so they really hired.
How did you feel being one of the first? Did you feel pressure?
No, because we were in the shop, and not right out on the ships with all the men working all around you. In the shop, it was a little bit more, only a few men, like you're helping your fitter, and there might have been 5 fitters over here and about 6 or 7 over there, and at the very end of the shop they had welding and burning, which you barely ever got down there. So that you weren't mixed into it too quickly. So the, by the time I left the shop and went on the ships, by that time you were really used to working with men and everything else. And it was nothing. Mm-hmm. I always stuck very close to my fitter or my the shipwright and the ship fitter, like. And I just never found any problem to it at all. And I didn't think any of the other girls did, too. I never heard of them saying anything.
Did you, in the beginning period, did you want a lot to be successful so that other women would come in? Was that something that...
In that line of work?
Yeah.
No, not really. My ambition was to go to school. Mm-hmm. And I, all my friends had either dropped out or quit in grade 9, 10. I think I was the only one who was still going to school. And I deeply wanted to carry on. But in grade 12, I'll tell you, I had one skirt and blouse I wore the whole year. And on graduation, I didn't even go because it required getting a dress and shoes and, you know, the whole thing. And there just wasn't any money. So I just told the principal that I couldn't come because I was going to start a new job the next day, and I didn't think I could go to the grad, stay up late and get up for work, because I wasn't about to tell him. Mm-hmm. But my ambition was to go on to school. And as far as war work and things like that, then I got married after, when I was 23, so if I had gone into, my mother had died when I was 10, so my father really wasn't there to sort of guide me. I was trying to figure this all out myself. But I think if I had went into the office world, I do think that I would have got to the top, because I have that, within me, you know?
Ambition.
Yeah, just like my oldest son. He went right through 7 years of university and ranked right at the top with scholarships and everything, but not one time did I hear a complaint. You know, he just had, he's the type that would go over broken glass to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I would have been the same. But as far as war work, I couldn't see myself wanting to succeed in that type of work because it's a man's world. You know, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Really? In our day, it was mostly the office end that you could sort of get anywhere with.
So did you tend to see it as, I'm doing this for the duration of the war, and then I'll be out?
And it's a job, and it was paying well, and I was helping my dad sort of keep the house going. My brother had joined the Navy, and that's about all. It wasn't because, but I think if I'd had a little guidance at home, more from my parents, I would have gone into the office world. Because I did go on interviews, and I could have got in on it was the stockbrokers on Dunsmuir and Granville there that needed a junior secretary. And I was asked, I was favorably received there. I could have gotten that. I was interviewed at a bank on Canby and Hastings as a junior bookkeeper. And where else did I go? I could have got into that field, but like the money was very poor. And I picked that because it was better paying. But I think if I'd have gone into the other way, I would have, then my ambition would have carried on to that field, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. How old were you when you started to work in the shipyard?
About 18, 19, 18.
Okay. And did you get married while you were working in the shipyard?
No. I met my husband long after I'd quit the shipyards. Although he's born and raised right here, about 8-10 blocks from me.
Mm.
At the time, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.